The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Taoiseach Micheál Martin has warned that the hospitality industry could stay closed until the end of May. Now, this comes after Taoiseach de Leo Varadkar told non-essential businesses that they should expect not to reopen in the first quarter of the year. We're joined now by the Managing Director of Retail Excellence, Duncan Graham, and Irish Hotels Federation President and Director of Fitzgerald's Woodlands House Hotel in Limerick, Elena Fitzgerald. You're both very welcome to the programme. We'll go to you first, Duncan. How bad are things for the retail sector? Because they will tell you, on the one hand, that some of them, that 60% of their business could happen in the 4 weeks before Christmas, and that business they had.
Yeah, look, Pat, it's been an emotional, financial and operational rollercoaster 2020. By the time we get to the anniversary of the pandemic, retailers will have been shut potentially for 7 months during the course of the last, the last 12. This latest lockdown has been extremely difficult with no end in sight. I mean, you mentioned Christmas there, and certainly the run up to Christmas was pretty good. But, prior to that, we've been closed for 6 weeks, and non-essential had been closed for 6 weeks in November. And then 12 weeks prior to that in the beginning of March. So, it's been extremely difficult. It's been a real roller coaster. And of course, if you go back to the last lockdown, we had a very clear end date in sight, which was the 1st of December. That had been widely flagged by the government from the end of October onwards. With this one that we're now into, there is no end in sight. We've got extremely high case numbers on a regular basis, and there's no certainty for retail at the moment. So,
I think it was Professor Sam McConkie and others have echoed this, that they're reluctant to put a date on things. I mean, Christmas was a date fixed in the calendar, and they wanted to get people out to enjoy themselves and have something of a Christmas with their friends and families. Christmas was there. We know St. Patrick's Day is another kind of milestone. Easter is a milestone. But Professor Sam McConkie said, forget about dates. It's all about the numbers of cases, the R number. It's all about the stats that we achieve before we can resume any kind of normality.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And look, there's no retailers out there that are complaining that they're shut at the moment. Everybody's looking at the numbers on a regular basis and going, absolutely, totally understandable. But that roadmap for opening, and we're on regular calls with Minister English in particular on a weekly basis at the minute. And one of the things that we're asking for is give us the sort of benchmark numbers that perhaps we need to be aiming at. I mean, we were hearing last night that the R number is now down below one. What do we need to be looking at? Are we looking at zero cases on a daily basis? Are we looking at 100 cases on a daily basis? Are we looking at vaccines, all the vulnerable people having been vaccinated? It's those sort of numbers that we need to be looking at to at least give retailers an idea of when that reopening might happen.
Yeah. So you do accept that the setting a date is a nonsense, because if you reach that date and things are still bad, you can't reopen. So it's another slap on the face at that point. Whereas if everything goes really well, you might open earlier than any projected date. So one way or the other, all they can tell you is these are the targets for infection. These are the targets for vaccination. And when we reach those, well, then we can open. Yeah, but not a date.
You're absolutely right. And that's the sort of thing that we need. But, we can also then start to plan for what this reopening looks like. So, this latest lockdown has also included click and collect. There is very little business for non-essential retailers. If you take clothing retailers, for example, at this time of the year, that's being done online. People like to browse through racks when they're shopping for sale items. So, the sort of things that we need the government to look at is things like, can we reintroduce click and collect as perhaps the first option? Can that then be followed perhaps by appointment shopping? Can we can we open up some of the larger format stores as we progress perhaps into late February and March? Things like furniture shops and garden centres. One piece of information I saw about a week ago was the fact that in the UK, for example, they're saying that garden centres, if you open those up, we will actually keep people at home, because they're going out, they're buying for the garden and they're spending time in it. So as we approach the spring, that's probably one of the first areas that could be opened. So it's
mask mandate, I still see people out of doors in crowded settings who don't wear masks. No one is asking people, you know, halfway up Lugna Quilla to wear a mask if they're, you know, with just one other person. No one's asking for that. But there are outdoor settings which are quite crowded where people still don't wear masks. And, you know, if you're going into a garden centre, most of them are out of doors, wear a mask, and it should be, and, you know, hand sanitise, etc., etc. It should be perfectly safe to do that kind of shopping.
It should be. And you know, again, I'll come back to the fact that, you know, when you're looking at 2,000 and 3,000 cases a day, you know, it's shocking for everybody and we all play our part. But at some point, there has to be a slight easing of these restrictions to enable us to start trading again. And, you know, the other thing here is that, you know, there's some good government supports that have been in place for retailers since the start of the pandemic. You know, we go back to the TWSS right at the very beginning. You know, but these government supports will increasingly need to be extended in order to keep retail viable. Because, you know, a lot of the retailers that I'm talking to at the moment are saying, you know, Duncan, we could survive through January based on the money that we made, perhaps, you know, during that short period of time before Christmas. You get into February and into March and it becomes a very different story. So, you know, there's certainly more government support required here.
Okay, interesting text here. I was out for a walk yesterday, says one News Talk listener, at lunchtime. Walked by a massive construction site. About 40 workers in high-vis vests walked out, obviously for lunch. No one wearing a mask. No distancing. Where is health and safety? It made me very angry and sorry for people in hospitality. We are in this together does not obviously apply to big construction companies. And you can see it everywhere. I mean, and in one way, you see a small builder and he's looking around and he sees, you know, three or four vans outside a house and he says, I locked my business down and now look at them. So they open up. That's what's happening. When we reopened hospitality in July, the cases went up 400% within 3 weeks. When wet pubs outside Dublin reopened in September, the same increase happened and we went into lockdown with case numbers not increasing as much in Dublin where the pubs were closed. In December, the pubs and restaurants were packed and we know what happened. Hospitality venues are clear breeding grounds for virus transmission. That's from Kieran in Maynooth. And that's a cue really for Elena Fitzgerald-Kane, the president of the Irish Hotels Federation and director of Fitzgerald's Woodlands House Hotel in Limerick, to talk to us. Elena, you know, I haven't heard much from hospitality since this surge happened to us with thousands of cases every day, dozens of deaths. Does hospitality now accept the fact, I suppose, that they contributed to this surge?
I suppose, you know, the main messaging right now has been around public health, and from, I suppose, an Irish Hotels Federation, that is always our number one. The reality is, and, you know, Micheál Martin has come out saying this and Leo Varadkar, you know, there has been a surge, but it's not attributable to any one particular sector or setting. And the HPSC reports, which are published by government, and indeed they're the only verifiable data, we see a kind of continuity around, I suppose, the statistics insofar as for hotels, it's you're looking at a tenth of a percent of all clusters happens. Whereas if you compare it to private home settings, you know, that has been consistently been around the 72%.
So are you still trying to say that hospitality did not contribute to the massive surge before Christmas?
What I'm saying is increased socialisation across all settings, I suppose, led to the surge. And, you know, that was in home settings. It was in all forms of public settings. And I suppose, you know, it can't be pinned to any particular sector or that. And that's according to the government's own statistics, the HPSC reports.
You know, all the time when we talk about this, the hospitality sector says, oh, well, you know, we can run things properly. We can have hand sanitizers. We can have social distancing at tables. We run things like a tight ship. Whereas people at home, oh, they don't do things like that and they mix, and trying to blame people at home for most of the spread. We also, you know, go online. You can see the stuff, tables of 12 people. We actually, in this house, deliberately booked a table for 12. We cancelled it, of course, just to check out would a particular restaurant in Dublin, which was a known offender online, would they take our booking? And they did. So You know, I don't buy this thing that, you know, a restaurant where you can't be a metre apart from someone, never mind 2 metres, breathing and shouting and roaring with high Christmas festive hilarity, that is not a spreading environment. Of course it is.
The reality is there's very clear guidelines in place around, and, you know, tables of six is a maximum, and even down to the amount of households, that has been specified at point in times. And we would obviously be actively encouraging all of our own members as hotels to follow the hotel guidelines. There is also the COVID-19 safety charter in place by Fáilte Ireland. That is subject to a number of inspections, you know, most of which are unannounced. So there is a process in place around it. And at the end of the day, there's very clear guidelines in place to protect public health. And I would be very cognizant of encouraging everybody, you know, whether they are the business operators or whether they're the teams employed, or indeed the role that guests have to play as a part of that. And as somebody who was open for a few weeks before Christmas, I have to say the behaviour was fantastic in terms of how
And isn't that the problem? You know, that one size in this certainly does not fit all. The naughty stairs, some places really belong on the naughty step and others exemplary. This text from a Newstalk listener: I was in some different pubs and restaurants when things reopened. Some were sticking to the rules, but others were a disgrace, and I left soon after I got there. So when the hospitality industry is calling to be let open up again, maybe they need to look at some of their peers and ask if the greedy among them ruined it for everybody.
I suppose the other side of it is there's it goes back to Garda powers and that as well. At the end of the day, you know, where the guidelines are not being observed, be it by guests, be it by, you know, hotel operators or potentially any other hospitality or tourism providers or any other sector, indeed, you know, government or the Gardaí must have the powers in place to enforce it as well. And that has been lacking. And I think that is a barrier to our collective, I suppose, support.
I remember this vividly, where we were told by the minister that basically the Gardaí go in and they ask people to sort out what they're not doing correctly. And then if they don't do it, they ask them again. And then they ask them again. And the punishment was that when the license comes up for renewal, the Gardaí would threaten that they would, you know, object to the renewal of the license, all that kind of thing. Now I think they have more powers to clear pubs and so on. But really, you know, they can't be in every pub in the land. They can't be in every restaurant or hotel in the land. You've got to depend on your members to do the right thing, not to run what I would call disorderly houses.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's why I suppose when the guidelines were set out and developed by Fáilte Ireland, our logo was on the very front of those, because we supported the processes that were being put in place. And that's something we stand firmly by. To be honest, in terms of the level of engagement we've had beyond the initial has not been as much as we would have liked, because obviously, you know, there's a public health issue there. And, you know, a lot of the advice that is coming down, you know, the line and the implications and changes is on foot of what's coming through from, you know, NEFID and the department.
Also, by the way, my sympathies go to any hospitality owner who's trying to police things. I mean, you've got six people allowed at a table. They happen to be six people from six different households who then go out maybe with a different six the following night and so on and so forth. You can't expect a hotelier or a restaurateur to police that kind of thing. Anyway, what's the information about the survival of, you know, a lot of your members who might not have found things easy at the best of times and now this?
Yeah, look, it's extraordinary. I mean, there's been 2.6 billion of a revenue loss in total for the hotel sector alone for last year. As it stands across tourism, there are 160,000 livelihoods affected. And at the end of the day, you know, tourism was 1 in 10 of all jobs. 70% of those jobs were outside of Dublin. And in some cases, entire communities are based in tourism. So the effects of it are absolutely decimation like we've never seen before. Our focus right now is very much, like what Duncan mentioned earlier, on the supports and the certainty around supports. Right now, the wage subsidy scheme is up for review, you know, on the 31st of March. Does it go down to the wire? We're continuously asked for, you know, financial reports and budgets for our banks, and without certainty around things like local authority rates, which again are going to run up to the end of March. You know, the CRSS, and I suppose very much designed in the mindset of hospitality in particular, There have been challenges around eligibility criteria. There have been challenges around the cap. And bank moratoriums, that's a huge issue for us. This isn't something that's going to cost the government directly. But the reality is we were in a bubble in terms of deferrals and income and tax. Deferrals of income and capital. Now we're in a situation where we're paying for a number of months. And, you know, if you're in a situation like many hoteliers across the country that are closed, you know, there's no revenue inflow to, I suppose, make those outflows. So we do need
certainty
around that. So you want
certainty. Certainty is what you want. Look, we have to leave it there. Elena Fitzgerald-Kane, thank you very much for joining us, the President of the Hotels Federation. And before that, Managing Director of Retail Excellence, Duncan Graham.